The following is a presentation of Remnant.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Frank Garcia.
All right, I'm excited with this new series, Walk the Line. Has nothing to do with the movie. I think I've seen it, I'm not sure. Keeping the balance of grace. It's hard to keep the balance of grace in life at times when it's not good, when we're facing giants and battles. But I'm going to read out of Romans, a scripture that will hopefully encourage us. And that's why I call it looking to better things. We need to leave the past in the past and move on into this new year God has set before us. Amen? And it reads like this in Romans 8, 28 through 30. I'm reading out of the God's Words translation. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those whom he has called according to his plan. This is true because he already knew his people and had already appointed them to have the same form as the image of his son. Therefore, his son is the firstborn among many children. He also called those whom he had already appointed. He approved those whom he had already called. And he gave glory to those whom he had approved of. Are you on the approved list? Have we been living for God? As you can personally meditate on 2015 and how you did. But I want us to bring our attention to a story in the Old Testament, which I am that pastor that kind of speaks differently out of the topics these men bring. I kind of go to left field sometimes, and yes, I bring up some of the hardest names, but that challenges me to study even more, amen? So keep in mind that God does turn all things to a good. And not on our time, but on God's time. Sometimes we want it now. But let me encourage all of you this morning to the attention of 2016. That we will all at one time again face disappointments, face some giants we think we can't tackle. But God is greater than all that. And God is always in control. And God is always in the midst. So I want to take you into a story in Exodus, looking at Exodus 15, 22 through 27. Let me read the story and we'll follow along the lines of what was going on here. And what God was teaching these people, and what God will teach us this morning, and what we can learn through the battles of life facing disappointments. Exodus 15, 20 through 27. It says this, Moses led Israel from the Red Sea into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they couldn't drink the water because it tasted bitter. That's why the place was called Marah, bitter place. The people complained about Moses by asking, what are we supposed to drink? Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord set down laws and rules for them to live by. And there he tested them. He said, if you will listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what he considers right, if you pay attention to his commands and obey all his laws, I will never make you suffer any of the diseases I made the Egyptians suffer, because I am the Lord who heals you. Next, they went to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees. They camped there by the water. What could that have to do with anything, huh? You're probably thinking that, as I did. This morning, I want to draw our attention to the story because we're going to draw out some points that could possibly help us in our 2016 walk coming towards us. See, God here had just delivered the Egyptians from their bondage. And God is now ready to deliver them from their sinful tendencies. You see, these people that walked with Moses, they saw the power of God. And some of us in our lives have seen it too. Miracles. Just things you didn't expect just came about. Many surgeons just explain it, well, it's something just happened. They can't explain it. They won't mention God. And here these Egyptians saw the power of God. Can you imagine if we crossed the Red Sea right now as a congregation thinking we were going to die to the swords of the Egyptians, and we crossed the Red Sea and they're drowned. God drowns them right before us. Can you imagine seeing those leaders, those Egyptians that had beat you and whooped you and starved your children? And you said, yes, God, you delivered us. They even started singing songs if you read the whole book of Exodus in 15. They were praising God, marching into the desert as they saw the enemy drowned by God's hand. You know, in times in our lives, God will drown your enemy right before you. But we still have the tendency to turn away from God and doubt and not trust. And then we get disappointed at God and at people. And now at this point, I'm sure these people lost their faith. Gosh, it had only been a few days. It says 3 days later they wanted water. I get thirsty too. But we need to trust God that He's going to bring it. So how does God work? God does work through disappointments. God does work through disappointments, folks. And if you don't understand that right now today, you're going to plunge into a big despair of discouragement. You will. If you don't trust God. So how can God work through bitter disappointments? Well, let's dig into the story, which is my first point. Disappointments are for testing. Disappointments are for testing. Look at the end of verse 25. There he tested them, God said. Do you know what the word tested means in Hebrew? You have any idea what it means to say tested in Hebrew? You know what it means? Tested. He was testing them. You thought you guys were some big old theological word? No, it means test. To approve. I think Jeremiah or Jerry said it last when they preached. Your allegiance. What are you pleasing your allegiance to? What are you trusting in? What are you living by? Whose standards? You see? Discouragement will take you into a plunge if you let it. And God tested them. Yeah, they went through the desert for 3 days without water. They ran out. Then they find water. Then it's no good. What is God doing here? What is God possibly teaching these people? He saves them, delivers them. They march off singing songs. And 3 days later, they're bickering and bitter. Some of us can be that way. We leave Sunday, like today, and all the Sundays you've been here, sermon after sermon, and you leave these doors and you go right back to the desert. Our attitude changes. We forget our faith, our trust in God, in the God we worship here every Sunday, in the God you should be worshiping daily in your lives, and honoring God and showing Him your love. How do you do that towards other people? You show God. You love Him to love other people. And that's not easy sometimes. But we need to do it. So what God is teaching the Israelites, and this is what I put, the Israelites wouldn't have known the desert without if they didn't have a desert within. You get it? God saved them, but He knew their hearts still. Something wasn't right. And there they are marching off, and 3 days later they're complaining. You see, they were still dry spiritually inside, if you don't get what I put on the screen. They were dead. There was a desert in them. And God is trying to show them in those 3 days how dry they were. Because one day we can be praising God and the next minute we're all dried up. And that's what He's showing them, that there was a desert within them. And yes, the water was bitter. And you know why it was bitter? He let them plunge. Can you imagine? Yay, guys, there's water here. God brought it. Oh, man, this tastes good. Oh. My gosh, God, what are you doing here? This water's no good. Not only was God showing them how dry and desert their spiritual life was in their heart, but He was showing them how awful and smelly and distasteful their sins were. God's word is all symbolic. It means something. And he always tries to teach us. And this is for us today. Yeah, it's Old Testament. Oh, Frank, you're going to go way back there, really? Yes, because it applies, folks. Sometimes we have those moments where we think we got it our way and you dive into this bitter water, then we complain to God and we complain about people. And he's just trying to show us how bitter our attitude can be, how sour we can be. Instantly, he was showing them how bitter they were. The question was not the sin. We want water. That wasn't the sin. The sin of these Israelites was their attitude and their faith, their lack of faith of. That was the sin. They lost trust and faith in God. It's not a sin to say, God, I'm thirsty. But it's a sin to say, you know what? Where's the water, Moses? What are you doing here? That's the sin, our attitude. God checks that and he'll test us. You see, you can have a wonderful worship day by day. I'm worshiping God. Ooh, I worship God. Yay. Singing songs. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. But you know where the true testing ground is of your faith in worshiping God? When you show up to work the next day and they're closing down your shop. When you come home from work and your husband or your wife wants to leave you. When you can't make the bills. When you're battling that giant only you know you're battling. That's where the testing is. And I always remind the congregation of my personal experience. This is probably the fifth time I'm going to mention this. I was living in a home in Brawley, and the renter told us to move out that night. The next morning I get up. I didn't know the story till the next morning. My wife's crying, and I told her what's wrong. Of course, my prior wife that passed away from cancer, and she's crying. She told me the story. We got to get out now, honey. They want their house back. And we were faithful tenants for 6 years. The only reason she moved us out was because the house was paid. Now she wanted it back. And I didn't judge her. And she told me the story. Guess what I did? I went straight to my living room, turned on some worship softly, and started worshiping God. In the moment, being thrown out of my house. You're worshiping God. Isn't that weird? Isn't that funny? But let me tell you something. It wasn't my strength that drew me to go to the living room. The Holy Spirit grabbed me and said, you go praise God for him. He's throwing you out of your house. Praise God. And I did. And I'm worshiping him, not even 5 or 10 minutes. Another friend from El Centro calls me and asks me a question because I was a maintenance guy at the time. And he had a question about some plumbing. And I answered him. He goes, Frank, are you crying? Are you okay? What's going on? I sent something's wrong. They threw us out of our house, buddy. Oh, that's okay. I have a house. You can move in now. Pay me when you can. Don't even worry about the deposit. That's when you trust God. Amen. And we're so quick to go kick the curb and kick people to the curb. You go praise him. I've told you this before. I have a boss that's pretty hard on me. But I love him dear and I pray for him by name daily. And there's days he gives me good days. God works in his heart. I gotta trust God. The waters can be bitter sometimes at days. So how did the Israelites fail? How did they fail this test? Look at verse 24. You'll see it right there. The people complained about Moses asking, what are we supposed to drink? What was their failure? They complained. Our nature is to complain first and then be nice later. I'm guilty too. I was an innocent child. I was the biggest complainer. But the day I prayed that prayer when they kicked me out of my house, from then on I remembered that Mara moment. So when things started coming my way that I didn't like, that were bitter, I would start praising him. There's days, Frank, you got to stay till 6. I walk out to the warehouse to go load the trucks. Praise God, love you Jesus, hallelujah, I'm praising him. And it makes it better. It doesn't go away. I still got to work late. Doesn't change the fact, but God is watching me. He's seeing my attitude. He's checking my heart. Let's see how he's going to act. He's got to stay late. His wife can't see him for another hour. And he does a double whammy here. He's working on my wife too. My wife's, oh God, please bring him home. He's already there an hour late. But I know she's not. She's just praying, God, just bring him home. He does double whammies. It's just not for one. It's for your family. It's for two of you at times. It's double-sided. God never does nothing single-sided. He doubles. It's a double standard. He does that. So they failed because they complained. They failed about complaining about Moses. We read They didn't complain to God. They told Moses, what are you doing? You're our leader, God. Get someone else. This guy does not know what he's doing. We're going to die out here. Some of you don't like some of your leaders or you work for or one of us as pastors, how we speak or whatever you have. Well, God has placed us in your life, praise God. And God has placed those bosses in your life, praise God. And God put you in that job, praise God. Just go through it, man. Do it. Give it the best you can. God is there. That's what we feel when we complain. Look at Romans 14:10. Why do you criticize or despise other Christians? Everyone will stand in front of God to be judged. You see, instead of giving lip service, you should give love service. Instead of consoling and telling someone over the phone, over a text what to do, why don't you go over there and do something? Action is louder than words. Jesus came down from glory, took off all his glory and became a man. And was called the worst sinner in the world because they were our sins. He carried them for us. And we complain about the littlest things. Poor, poor me. How did Moses handle disappointment? Look at how Moses handled it in verse 25. We read it. Moses cried out to the Lord. Moses cried out to the Lord. Kind of when they kicked me out of my house. Said, I'm going to praise you, God. This is crazy. My wife looked at me like, you're crazy. You're going to praise God. They're throwing us out. Yeah, I'm going to go praise God. Instantly, he had a home. Instantly, he had a home. In our bitter moments, are we crying out to God or complaining about others? In our bitter moments in life, are you complaining about your situation and about the person behind it? Or are you crying out to God? God, you need to do this. And I'm going to go act on it after I pray about it. Because we can't just give God lip service. Some of you can sing pretty beautiful. I heard you earlier. You should sign up for the worship team. Talk to Victor. It's beautiful to hear you all sing. I even try to play lighter so I can hear you. God loves that. But he loves it even more when you go worship him in your bitter moments. And you act upon it with the right attitude. Amen? We need to cry out to God and quit complaining. See, the mar experiences are going to make us strong or they're going to make us stink. The mar experiences are going to make you strong or make you stink. Bottom line, they dove into that water. It was pretty bad. And God was saying, that's how bad you guys are right now. I love you. I'm right here. I am God. I am the Almighty. But I need to show you this. So you can get it. So you can understand. So disappointments are to test. They're tests God uses to strengthen our faith. Trust me, folks. You start worshiping him at your worst times, he's going to do great things. And I'm going to share something that's not in my notes that just happened for my new year. I've told you about my son that I lost when he was 5 because of my lifestyle and my past. I was never there for him. He was torn from me at 5. Guess what? He called me on New Year's Day. Woohoo! 7 years I've been praying. God, I want to see my son. I want to talk to my son. And we talked for an hour last night at least, crying and laughing. He shared a lot of personal things. I told him, if you're listening, I'm going to talk about you, son. I'm going to give glory to God. It's not about you, son. It's not about me. But what God can do through testimony in disappointments. In that moment, all those years, he grew up. I saw him once at 15, another time at 18 for a few minutes because of situations at that moment. And then I didn't see him for another 7 years to date. I haven't seen him, but I've spoken with him. God spoke to his heart. And you know what he told me over the phone last night? Dad, it's funny. As I was growing up as a kid, teenager, they always told me on this side of the family and the other side of the family not to talk to you, that you were a bad man. But they were liars, Dad. I told him, why can't I talk to my dad? And you know what he said? I love that when you call me son because no one calls me son. And I haven't called anyone son since he's been my son. God's power. I was never judging the mother. I wasn't disappointed how they were handling it. I was praying and crying to God, Lord, let me see him. I don't want to die before I see my son. Let me see him. So we're making plans for, my wife doesn't know, possibly February. He wants us to come over. And get this, if I could ever bring him to the church, he's a spit image of me, but taller, kind of like Tommy here. My friend Tommy Spears, taller, bigger kid, healthy, handsome kid, of course. But he tells me last night, Dad, I can't wait so my wife to meet you. I go, why, son? He goes, not because you're a pastor or that. I want to show her the clone of me. It was an awesome experience. So my new year, I know God's lining up some good things. So I better be ready. I better be ready for some disappointments to come. I'm still going to worship him. I'm going to do what I can to go see my son. Amen. Be strong. Stand strong. You can do it. Whatever you're trying to attain, it's coming. And I'm going to get to that point here in a minute. But God is testing us. And also disappointments are for teaching us. Second point, he was teaching Moses. Look in verse 25. Look in verse 25. The Lord showed him a piece of wood and he threw it in the water. Can you imagine? You're praying for that job. You're praying for that husband. You're praying for that bill to be made. And you open your eyes and say, there's a log. You know, for me personally, part what this text means. God will use the most abstract moments or actions or people or events to make things come to fruition. Kind of like my experience when they threw me out of the house. It was weird to go pray. I just got evicted for no reason, but I worshiped. And it was like that log. It reminded me of that log. And it could have a double standard. You know what the log is? Some scriptures say it was a tree, a big piece of wood. When we're in bitter testing and bitter teaching, where do you go? To the cross. The cross of Christ. You come to Jesus and you pray and you cry to the Lord. And when it looks crazy and odd that there's no way God's going to work it through this, he works it through that. We're trying to go this way and you think God is leading you this way and it's over here. God says, turn around. I know it looks weird. It's a log, but use it. I know it seems funny that you're struggling, but get on your knees and cry to the cross of Christ. He makes it sweet. Jesus will sweeten your life. Not only your life, your soul. My mother-in-law stayed with us over the weekend. And I wake up this crazy man. Not crazy, crazy, but funny. I'm always laughing. I'm always joking. The first thing she tells my wife is words, does he always wake up this happy? And I looked at my mother-in-law with a straight look. Yeah, I got issues. I got happy issues. But it's the joy of the Lord. I've seen what he's done. I've seen miracle and miracle. The woman that broke her arm, God healed it in one day. I got shared by a sister this morning. A little 13-year-old boy, Luis, cracked his head open, brain bleeding, healed by God's hand. God still does miracles, folks, but it's going to look like a log sometimes, but you go for it. It could look odd. It could seem strange, but do it. You follow God's voice. Follow and use the log. And you know why God sweetened the water by Moses throwing it in the water? Obedience. This is weird, God, but and only 3 million people are looking at me, but okay. Voila, sweet, fresh water. And everyone was watching, I'm sure. Look at him, log, really? He's going to help you, seriously. We'll hear those little voices. You don't listen to that voice. You obey God's voice. If he's speaking to you, you listen to him. And as strange as it may be, you do it. Young ones, go to college, stay in school, study. You're probably being led another direction by something you would probably like. Cry to God, young ones, teenagers, young ones, college students, young people. Cry to God. He'll show you that log. And that's probably the direction you should be taking. You probably think it's this job or this direction, but God has it over here, and maybe you're battling it. Go through with it and trust God. Amen? Is God showing you something you're refusing to do or obey? When you're at your worst bitter experience, instead of complaining, griping, and taking a personal cry out to the Lord, he will make it sweet. Amen? God was teaching Moses, but not also Moses, but the Israelites. And God gives them a teaching principle in verse 26 for the people. He showed Moses what he had to do. Now he's trying to teach the people. Look what he says in verse 26. He said, God, If you will listen, listen. There is a key. If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what he considers right, if you pay attention, I know it's expensive to pay attention, but pay it all. Pay it. Pay attention to his commands and obey his laws. I will never make you suffer the diseases I made the Egyptians suffer because I am the Lord who heals you. Why were the Egyptians struggling and died evil deaths? Because they didn't believe in God. They rejected God and they mocked God. And they had other gods in his face worshiping weird looking things. And God does that. If you have some idol before God and God comes second, you're going to struggle. It might be good for a little while, but don't let it consume you. You need to put God first. Carry that log. It makes it sweeter. God brought us out of Egypt and the bondage we were in. I was into drugs and drinking and clubs and music and bands and cheating on my past wives and partners, doing all these awful things that I'm not proud of. But right now I testify for God because he changed me and he's going to always use me. And I'm always going to proclaim that before people because God did it. Amen. It's God's power. Again, young ones, every time I get up here, the Lord tells me to speak to the young people. Stay in school. Find a career. Don't be afraid. Ask your parents, your next of kin, an adult. I need help here. Pray with me. This is what I would like. And let God show you that log. Bitter disappointments can leave some pretty deep wounds in us. But God wants us to turn to him, not mouth off about each other. You see, I never had a bitter spot in my heart all those years I missed my son because I knew God was watching my heart. Not only my life, my heart. There was moments some of my family members would text me or call me, hey, we saw your son. Oh, it would hurt. I wanted to yell at them, well, tell me where he's at or why did you tell him to call me? I thought those things, but I took it. I'm glad you saw him. You know how my prayer was? That he was healthy and alive. And you know what right now he's doing? He's studying for a master's and bachelor's in technology and computer work. He's going to graduate this year. And all I can say is, son, I'm proud of you. And his wife, she's a psychiatrist, and she's also going for a bachelor's and a doctor's in psychiatry. Prayer. I never knew what he was going through, but I prayed. There was moments I was kneeling in the bitter water of Marah, but I didn't care. I prayed for him. And I have a daughter that she's going to come too one day. All my family is going to be here one day. I believe it. I could be 90 years here, but they're going to be here. I'm believing it. Even if I need oxygen to speak. God wants us to turn to him. Quit mouthing off about each other. We need to go through disappointments. Bitter disappointments to test us and to teach us. We can trust God. And thirdly and lastly, disappointments aren't only for testing or teaching, but disappointments are temporary. Temporary. This is an odd story, but it fits because God does turn all things into a good for those who trust God and love God. Look at this. Look at Exodus 15:27, the very next verse. Next, they went to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees. They camped there by the water. You know how far they were from when they drowned there at the Red Sea at the edge to Elim? 7 miles. It's like from Brawley to Westmoreland. You know why? What God is teaching us? He's leading us in the direction he wants us to go. But when we start bickering and complaining, Elim's over there, and he'll let us complain and bicker all we want, and we end up in Marah. When the blessing's not that far. But he has to take us to Marah to teach us where our heart's at. Where our faith is at, where our test is at. They were 7 miles away. So after he cleaned up the water in Marah, okay, now that you did all the bickering, I'll turn back this way. And he took them to Elim. And I always wonder what these words mean. Why are there numbers there? Why this count of palm trees and water springs? Did you know Elim means in the Hebrew palm trees? You know what palm trees means? Water. Where there's palm trees, there's cooled water. He took them to the cool water. Well, because they're bickering, it took a little longer. See, I got that house instantly because I didn't bicker. I went and cried to God, and he gave me another house instantly. I could have got up that morning and called that lady. You come over here. We're going to talk. You cannot throw me out. I've been a faithful tenant for 16 years. As a matter of fact, folks, I did a lot of remodeling in that house, and I could have brought that up, and I just remembered. See how boastful and proud I could have been? I did this to your house. I roofed it. I sheetrocked it. I put floor in the kitchen. I put a driveway. I put a fence. I painted it. No, I went and cried to God. God had it in control. And you know why I had to move from Raleigh to El Centro? Because God had more plans for me in El Centro. He had other plans for me. And besides, there in Raleigh were all my drug hoodie friends that are still there, lost without Jesus, that I've witnessed to, and they don't come to God. But I pray for them. But God separated me from them. And now all these years, I go back and, hey, Frank, what's up? They run from me, man. They run. And some all high and loaded or drunk, Frank, man, I wish I had what you had. You can right now. Oh, I'm not ready right now. I'm good. All I can do is pray for my friends. I'm not going to judge them or be disappointed. That bitter water at Mara can be pretty bitter if we're going to start complaining. See, you don't learn faith at the Red Sea or at Elim. They didn't learn faith when God, they saw all their enemies drowned. They were happy because God did it. They were all happy at Elim. We got water. God did it. We need Mara experiences, folks. Once in a while, we need that Mara experience to get our attention, to wake us up. My prayer this morning again at 2 was saying, God, bring the people that didn't want to come. Bring those that don't have a ride. And help them to get it. This is your word. Speak, God. Speak to them, your people. These are your children, Lord. I am just your servant saved by grace. I am a sinner before you, but speak to them. That's what I prayed this morning. And you're all here because of God. Some of you didn't want to come. I know that I spoke to some of you and told me before I even told you what I prayed. We didn't want to be here, but we came. Well, praise God. Thank you, God. What does that show me? He's hearing. He heard my heart for 7 years and he brought my son to talk to me. My son said, finally, forget all of you. I'm calling my dad on New Year's Day. I'm a grown man now. And I'm proud of him. And I'm going to teach him Jesus. When I go visit with him, I'm going to testify of Jesus to him and his new wife. And I'm believing for salvation. I'm not going to go there doubting, oh, who do I say? Is he going to get saved? No. I'm going to go over there like a good soldier and say, God's got this. My son will receive Christ in the name of Jesus. Faith of a mustard seed. No disappointment. Not being discouraged. Get stronger through that trial. Sooner or later, God will bring you to your Elim. He will bring you to your Elim. God knows what you need. On his perfect time, he will supply. You know what's funny? The people, all they wanted was water. And he gave them cool water. It says cool water because there's palm trees. It can't be just normal water. It's cool water where palm trees are. Not only did he give them cool water because they just asked for water. Remember, sometimes you ask God for something and he blesses you. He gives you double portion. You're like, whoa, Lord, this was more than I expected, God. I was just praying to you. In 5 minutes, I have a house. Gosh, Lord, I was just going to look for an apartment. He'll always give you more than you expect if you trust him, if you follow him and are diligent and quit complaining. And on top of the cool water, guess what else he gave them? What they didn't have through that whole walk, what was it? Shade. The palm trees give shade. You know what's even better than this? 12 palm trees. Why 12 palm trees? Why did they put 12? Who cares? It was 12. Why did the scripture write 12 palm trees? You know why? I did my homework. There was 12 tribes. They all had their own spa water. The 12 tribes. That way they didn't fight them. Because God knows people. They're going to fight. So I better give each one their own little water spot. And 70 palm trees. You know what the 70 palm trees signify or mean or literally mean biblically? There were 70 leaders in that whole entourage. 5 to each group. So each leader had their own shade, their own home with their own tribes. Isn't that amazing? All God gave him and all they asked for water. You come to the water, the living water of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you wash him gush out rivers. You wash him wash out all your problems. You wash him move in your life. You'll watch him just disintegrate some of the hurts you have inside that you need to let go. But only his sweet, sweet water can do this. And only if you come to that log, to the tree of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the cross. Because folks, let me tell you, closing with this, worship team, come up. There's a day coming when bitterness and disappointments of life will cease. It's all going to cease one day, folks. Look at this verse. Revelation 21:4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There won't be any more death. There won't be any grief, crying, or pain because of the first things have disappeared. What are you looking forward to in this 2016? What's disappointing you? What's discouraging you? What's got a hold on you? Is your water bitter? Are you in an Amara experience? That's good. Now start praying. So God will lead you to Elim. We all have that Elim up ahead. I never in my wildest dreams would think I'd be at Remnant. I was part of another church for many years and I thought that was my calling. And God tore me to Remnant, and planted me here. Two great, wonderful pastors and a beautiful congregation. I thought my calling was over there, but God had other plans. And who knows what he has for 2016. Guys, hold on. Hold on and hold on to Jesus. Amen. Let's stand up. Fix my
heart. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.